We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. My name's Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for all of you fine folks on the other side of the speaker. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time, even if it's while you do something else. It still counts. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Today, I've brought back on the show John Chapman of the 49ers Rush podcast and all these YouTube channel and all these great 49ers things. Draft extraordinaire with too much knowledge for me to just kind of restrict to one episode. So welcoming back the man who's named after an Air Force hero. If you didn't hear the original story at this point, you'll just have to Google it. John Chapman, how's it going, man?
Man, it's going well. It's draft week. It's like, I keep saying this, it's like being a kid right before Christmas because you're about to get all of these presents, and I'm so pumped about it. I'm excited about this. The idea, whenever you reached out to me about this, I was like, "Ooh, yeah, this is a little spicy. This would be fun." It's going to be hard, and I think we're going to be up against it a couple of these rounds, but I don't want to spoil too much. I think it's going to be a really good time.
Yeah, so what John is alluding to is I came up with the stupid idea of doing an entire 7-round mock draft, only 49ers, of course, using only players that they have been on a top or had in whatever phrasing you could use there on a top 30 visit. Okay. And the reason that I decided to do this was I went back and started looking first. You know, you hear all the time about top 30 visits. And the cynical version inside of me is like, who gives a shit? Do they even draft these guys? And then when I looked it up and I went into the history of the last like 4 years, I think, they draft these guys. So it's not stupid. You know, the top 30 visits are the most coveted. You're only allowed to have what, 30, right?
30.
Your top 30 players. And they're much more, you know, you fly the players in. What's crazy to me is these players do all these in like 1 week, 2 weeks or something.
Most teams wait. They wait till pretty late. And like the 49ers, they have everybody in at the same time.
Like a party.
Yeah, they have like 15 players in at the same time. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a little bit different for sure because you're getting all these people at the same time.
I think Matt Barrow said they take them to Topgolf and just kind of watch like how they interact with each other. And that would play into everything we know about the 49ers and how much they covet like personality and locker room presence and all that stuff. Okay, so to set the stage, and so this is going to kind of, John, interrupt me whenever you want, because this is kind of going to be me talking more than I'd like for me to be talking when you're on here with me. But I went through the last 4 years, four drafts, 2020, 21, 22, and 23, and I got all the names from top 30 visits and some meetings and stuff like that of who they ended up drafting. So let me go to my picture, because I'm learning myself quickly Knowing that I was going to forget these notes, I took a picture of them, and I forgot them, but I have the picture. So in 2020, it was a COVID year. No one was allowed to do anything with each other. So the 49ers were essentially restricted to just Zoom meetings. And of those Zoom meetings that they conducted, they ended up drafting on the list, and it was a lot of players. Because of the Zoom stuff, I think it was pretty much unrestricted. You know,
yeah, there were quite a few that year, and it was a weird year because you didn't have the scouts building the relationships during the year on campuses. Like, it was just weird, and a lot of teams didn't even play. And so you got guys like Trey Lance that wasn't going to come out but did come out, and you thought you were going to get more tape, but then you didn't because it was spring. They pushed their whole season back. So it was just – I always like to highlight that year because you want to kind of throw it out almost, but you – I think that it started some new trends with the 49ers because they learned we're not gambling on certain things that we gambled on perhaps in 2020. And the Trey Lance, you're going to be ESPN 30 for 30 on it, but this makes it even more convoluted and mysterious than it already was.
Right. So technically, you know, because the draft falls in April, so it's kind of like the 2019 season and then the 2020 draft. 2020 season, 21 draft. So in the 2020 year, that was Brandon Ayuk. So again, only the people that they... Brandon Ayuk was 2020?
Yeah, because it was right after the Super Bowl season, 2019 season. That's right. It was the 2020 draft.
I can't believe Brandon Ayuk's already been on this team that long.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird going back, man.
Okay, so from 2020, of the people they met with, they ended up drafting Brandon Ayuk, tight end Charlie Warner, and wide receiver Juwan Jennings. And I'm going to keep going with this. I don't want it to take forever. Okay, let me go find my picture of my notes. Okay, in 2021, right here, obviously, they drafted Trey Lance, who they met with. They also met with D'Amador Lenore, and they met with running back Trey Sermon. Okay, so that was 2021. 2022, bigger list, okay, in the second round. They drafted defensive end Drake Jackson. He was a top 30 visit. Wide receiver Danny Gray, top 30. Running back Ty Davis Price, top 30. Defensive tackle Kalia Davis, top 30. Offensive lineman Spencer Burford, top 30, plus pro day, plus virtual, plus combine. We should have all known that one was coming. Sam Womack had a virtual visit, and they met at the combine with Tariq Castro Fields, who was a sixth rounder. So that's... Of all those, now, again, only top 30s was, and they had a top 30 with Tay Martin. That was 1, 2, 3. He's an undrafted free agent, but we'll mention him. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players from their top 30 list they upright and drafted. And then you had two, one with a virtual meeting, one with a combine. And then in 2023, out of their top 30 visits, they drafted safety Jair Brown, tight end Cameron Latu, cornerback Darrell Luter Jr., and tight end Braden Woolis. They worked out kicker Jake Moody. They went to Ronnie Bell's pro day, and they had a virtual meeting with Il Manning, their undrafted free agent. So there's what we're doing now and what ever, like what Sam, first of all, not Sam, Steph. I have to mention Steph. She tracks all the 49ers meetings, including top 30 visits. You can find her on Twitter at Steph49K. She's the producer and the host of the 49K pod, and she has an absolutely impeccable Nick Bosa impersonation, which has grown beyond probably the lengths that she ever thought it would, and to the point where Nick knows it well. So those are the amount of players. I mean, what's your just first impression off of just hearing all the names I just listed?
Yeah, the 49ers want to remove, and it's funny because the last time we talked, you said this as well. All guesswork, all like predicting and whatever and variables, the Niners try to remove all those things. They're not drafting knuckleheads like Reuben Foster. They've removed that from their draft, whatever. They're not drafting, the term health history is something that both John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have said in the past month. Ever since Kinlaw, they're not drafting those guys early. If they've got questions with health, they're not touching those guys. And so whatever you add into that, all of the meetings that they're doing, personality, do they love football? That is constantly the question that you hear Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch say, we want guys that love football here. And that's what these meetings are. And so what, again, back to this whole thing of getting 10 to 15 of these guys together, who stands out personality wise, who loves football, who's competitive, who's going to be a fit for the 49ers, because the culture's been established. So you don't want to shake that up too much, and you want to bring all that guesswork, delete it, the Rob Lauder special, and then try to get these guys that you don't have that many variables on. And that's what a lot of this, you know, and again, you know, you look at some of these 30 for, like, another thing for a 30 visit, which we have to bring up, is medicals and attitude. Okay. So for example, if I'm, let's look at a player, Kalen Bullock. Okay. He played at the same high school my son's played at down in Pasadena. Damn good player, safety. He doesn't like to tackle. He's got clean everything else. So you get a 30 visit for him and you ask him, man, the tape says you're scared to tackle. Everything else we like about you, what's going on there? So these visits are used to kind of delete any type of questions that you still have that the film or the evaluation has left unchecked, because Kalen Bullock fits the 49ers as a slot nickel guy or a safety, which is a huge need. But then you're like, man, he fits everything we like, height, weight, speed, metrics, off the field, check, 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 check. Ah, not as physical as we liked. So get him down, sit down. Hey, man, look at this play. Why are you not trying to get in there and tackle? So you're trying to get some of those questions answered.
I wonder, man, I wonder if those type of visits could, you know, almost like ignite a different part of the player. Now, I'm sure a lot of teams would probably be like, oh, too little, too late, man. Like, you've already shown us how you play football. But I mean, meeting with an NFL team and hearing what they actually think about you and the problems they have with the way you play football has to be a pretty eye-opening experience. You're like, I wish somebody would have said this shit to me like 4 years ago.
And with USC, and I know somebody listening to this is a diehard USC fan or whatever, like, I hate saying this, and it's gone through two coaching staffs now. Watching USC defensive tape is hilarious. It's probably one of the poorly coach schemes. And I mean, I'm a Longhorn, so I'm biased, whatever, but like, it's weird. Drake Jackson covering people 80 yards downfield and stuff, and it's just like, this coverage scheme makes no sense whatsoever repeatedly. So that's probably a lot of it too. It's like, man, did your coaches tell you not to tackle? Like, like, we have right. to ask right. What's going on there? So you add some of that spice in there as well,
right? I mean, these are those meetings, you know, if the NFL really wants to make a shish ton of money, start offering insights and little videos into that stuff. Like, can you imagine, like, if there was like an NFL Plus subscription that, you know, included like, oh, this year, if you subscribe to NFL Plus, you will have, 24/7 access to this team's draft room, you know, and the way the NFL does things, they're just going to be like, hey, you're doing it this year. Sorry. Like, man, could you imagine? Just like that little video, I think you and I talked about it, that they because you mentioned the fact that they never agreed to which first round pick it was for.
The Cardinals trade. The Cardinals. Yeah. Monty. Yeah.
I mean, that was some awesome, that was like real life, you know, draft day stuff. And you're like, this is freaking sweet. They're just not cussing each other out and whatever else, pancakes. But.
You okay. Pancake eating mother.
So again, our entire goal today, without further ado, is to create an entire 7-round mock draft. What do the 49ers have now? How many picks do they have?
10.
11, 10, 10, 10, because they lost one. Of players that met with the 49ers. Now, look, we're going to pass up. We're not going to draft players. We're going to pass up players that you love, that you wish we could take, but we're only doing guys from the top 30 visits. So, yes. That's going to make it to where we're kind of reaching with the first round pick. But you never know what the 49ers are going to do on draft day. Maybe we reached with our first round pick and the 49ers end up landing a trade back and they draft that guy that we were, you know what I mean? So the point of this exercise is to get you guys familiar with names, familiar with the list of top 30 visits. And I think the coolest part about this is, just based on the 49ers history, is there is a very good chance that some, if not a good portion of the names that we, one, talk about, or two, ultimately pick for the 49ers, will be drafted by the 49ers. Like, you will get to the draft, and they will draft, just by the odds, going over the players I went over earlier, there's a very good chance that the guys you hear us talk about right now are going to be drafted maybe starting Thursday. So it's, to me, that's fun. That's intriguing, man, just to jump into this and figure it out. And again, you got to play the game a little bit. Some of these will be reaches. Some of these will be maybe that player's not going to quite be available at the pick that we're putting them at. But again, it's all for educational purposes. John, are you ready?
Let's do this, man. This is going to be challenging, but I think it's going to be eye-opening. Not that they're going to draft all these guys, but I'd be willing to take this. We haven't even started yet. I'd be willing to take our results and put it up against almost any other mock draft that's out there and say, I bet you we hit on more than the common mock draft does.
Right, because it has absolutely nothing to do with any website's big board. It has nothing to do. Well, I mean, it does a little bit because we have to at least kind of acknowledge where we're going to slot these guys in. For every player on their top 30 visits, I put in where they were ranked on PFF's big board, ESPN's big board. But it's ignoring all the little algorithms built into these mock draft machines that think they know team needs, that think they know what direction teams are going to go. And all we are interested in is the teams or the players that the 49ers have already told us that they like or that they're interested in. So that's all we're doing. Was I going to say anything else? And there's going to be a lot of discussion between John and I. There's going to be some typing if I need it, maybe more on my side because I got to look shit up that John already knows, stuff like that. You know, like he's the one that's put in the work. I'll obviously throw in my 2 cents, my 1 cent every now and then, but obviously, John's the draft extraordinaire. So
that's what my wife calls me, by the way.
I'm sure it said it with such genuine love. And
yeah, she's like, what do you have this next week? You have like a spring football? Is it spring football? Yeah, man, it's spring football next week.
Right. It's the spring draft. All right, man. So without further ado, if I had some cool sound effects, I think this does like the joke drum sound effect. Let me see if it does it.
Oh, dang.
It was really loud through my headset. But that was my drum roll. I just clicked a little sound effect button. There's a dramatic piano. I should have clicked that.
Technology level 10.
NBA draft sound 2022. I'm not going to click that button. But it would be you did. I think you played it recently. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah, I tried to do it. I'm tone deaf. It's terrible.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I won't ask. All right, Sam. So pick number one again. Top 30 mock draft starting now. We're on the clock. There is no clock. We're just going to do this. But who are the players from their top 30 visits that you are even able to stomach at pick 31?
Yeah, and this is a little bit of an interesting one because most of the visits are kind of fourth, fifth round guys, mm-hmm. third, fourth, fifth round guys. So of all the 23 confirmed top 30 visits, these are the only players, and I know people are going to kind of grimace a little bit, that are close. Not necessarily they're all first rounders. I don't have first round grade on any player the 49ers met with. But second round grades, Chris Broswell, edge out of Alabama. And then this is in no particular order, by the way. Malachi Corley, wide receiver, Western Kentucky. I could see him going in the second round. Edge Marshawn Neyland out of Western Michigan. Javon Bullard, safety, again, back in second round guy. Kingsley Suamatia. I'm learning the pronunciation. He is probably the highest ranked. He is the highest ranked player on my big board. That they have had a meeting with.
Is he on yours?
On my big board, I think I have, watch this, I think it's right at 31. It's 31 overall. So I have a second round grade on him. I only have 24 first round grades. He's the 31st player on my big board.
Okay. Pro Football Focus has him. And this is the weird thing about mock drafts that always blows people's minds every year. ESPN has him at 47, which is decently comparable. PFF, 66. So you're like, oh, well, the 49ers could get him in the second round. Well, that's not usually how this works. And I could probably guarantee you that he is long gone before 49ers pick number 63, you know, or at least the chances are very good. So,
again, and I'll say this, and I think that this is important because teams do this as well. There are analytic-driven teams. You look at the Browns, like there's teams out there that numbers mean everything. There's teams out there that are metric driven. So like, it's just, man, I want height, weight, speed, arm length, all that stuff. That's Colts. That's Trent Baalke with the Jags, right? Like, certain teams build their boards based on those things. And websites are the same thing. Dane Brugler, who probably does a better job than anybody with the draft, he's a metrics guy. He puts together the freaks list. Like, if you're not athletic, you're so low on Dane Brugler and the athletics big board. Whereas PFF,
the beast. Man,
they're, yeah, I mean, they're just looking at like analytic numbers. That's what drives. So these boards are crazy different, but so are NFL teams. Cole Strange went in the first round. And you remember McVay like laughed at him live at his press conference? He was given a press conference. They're like, who just went in the first round? He's like, first round? Like, and that's a head coach laughing at Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? Like, so these teams are all over the place, just like these boards are. So I have them 31. You said 66 on PFF. But I guarantee you this, the 49ers are high on Kingsley Suamataia.
What makes, Dane Brugler has him at 40, you know, which is right in the neighborhood of where the 49ers are picking. So of all the first round prospects, PFF has Marshawn Nealand 63rd, ESPN 39th. Now we've heard Rap Sheet talk about the fact that he's alluded to it a few times that Marshawn Nealand could surprise some folks into the back end of the first round. To me, like when he says that, I'm like, are you speaking for the 49ers right now? Like, are you prepping somebody? What I saw from Marshawn Nealand was he's tenacious. He has no motor problems. Like he goes very hard. He wasn't productive at not the strongest area of college football. You know what I mean? Like if a guy was playing for Western Michigan, you would think that he would be pretty productive, but, how does he fit in as a rookie? He's not kicking Leonard Floyd off the field, and he's certainly not moving Nick Bosa off the field. So it's like
he's a bull rush guy, control guy, physical guy. So tone setter, check, right?
Right.
You want that physicality? Like, he's got that in spades. He's mean as hell, and he runs nonstop all the freaking time. Like, he's going to be on a roster. He's a power guy that's not a lot of pass rush moves, but the production isn't there, like you said. Chris Broswell, who I've ranked a full round ahead of them. Chris Broswell, I've ranked number 33 overall, so just right behind Kingsley. Broswell has 13 sacks in the SEC, so the production's there. I mean, way over. I'm big on production, and if you can perform on Alabama's defensive line and get 13 sacks in the SEC, I think that brings so much more merit than Western Michigan. I think 9 sacks for Nealand, I believe, is what he had. And so, like, but he's smaller. He's not near as physical. He's a little bit of a tweener. But if Chris Kucerik, he always talks about that GTFO, right? Like, get off the line, burst. So do you want speed burst, versatility, or do you want bull rush, tone setter? What I think Dane Brugler put this out there, controlled car wreck. Like, and every single play is the same when you watch Bashard Nealand. He's just running through people. He plays like the Incredible Hulk. And his highlights are fun, but not the most technician type guy. He just bull in a china shop. So I think Kingsley and Broswell would probably be the closer options in that first round. I do like Nealand, but a little bit more question mark there in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking at Dane Brugler stuff right now. So now I've got PFF, ESPN, Dane Brugler.
Overload.
I know. Nealand's 32nd on Brugler's big board. And I just saw him. No, I can't find him again. This Chris Braswell's 67th. So, like, I don't know where everybody, I guess it's in the end, it's just somebody's opinion. But
Braswell's smaller. Brugler loves metrics. So think back to Trent Baalke, right? Taking Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson, right? Uh-huh. I want metrics. I want arm length. I want size, and Broswell does not have those.
Right. But he has production in a very good conference.
He's younger.
Right. So, but to me, I guess we've probably already answered this question. We should probably go with Kingsley, right?
I think that's what the fans want. It doesn't matter any poll I put out there or question. Whichever one has an offensive lineman first, that one wins. It just doesn't matter.
Even though in your battling mock drafts today, the 80 Mitchell one was far and away the best one.
I was like, so mad. Like, far and away. Wrong.
80 Mitchell, Chris Braswell, and the guy from Texas.
Christian Jones, offensive tackle. Like, that was a home run, and it lost. It got dead last.
Yeah, and you're like, is anybody thinking about Brock Purdy throwing to A.D. Mitchell and Brandon Ayuk for the next 4 years at least? Like, is this okay with you guys? Like, you know, nope. I don't know. Nope, nope. But to me, like, if Marshawn Nealon's not going to see the field much, there's a good chance that neither is Kingsley either. Like, does he immediately beat out? I have no
Colton McKivitz.
There you go. Hopefully they would rotate. So many names over the last like 24 hours. They're all going out.
The mind mush is like a real thing. And whatever you're recording, it's the most obvious thing in the world. But for some reason, it's deleted in that moment.
The moment you hit stop, you'll remember.
Yeah, every time. But Kingsley, I think, makes the most sense. I think he's the best scheme fit. I think the upside is there. And the goal would be maybe he rotates series after the first month. Like, that would kind of be what you'd want. Maybe he takes that job, but he'll be a part of it. Young, upside's there.
He's played both sides of the offensive line. If the development with Chris Forster is on point, maybe you're looking at a guy that could fill Trent Williams' shoes to some sort of degree. I'm not talking about a Trent Williams. I'm talking about maybe you've got a guy that can step in there when he retires that you're okay with. And if not, you've got a right tackle, and then you can continue to kind of pound away at the need until you find the guy you need. But so, again, I mean, I like Marshawn Nealon. I like Chris Braswell, actually quite a bit. But I think Kingsley Suamataia is probably the best we're going to get at this point, especially when we're going off the JC big board.
There we go.
So let's go with that. I'm going to take my, I need to stop popping that little pen lid because if the mic is picking that up, people are going to be pissed.
You definitely are a teacher coach, man.
I know. I'm putting him down on the list. Okay.
All
right. And that is BYU.
Kingsley Suamataia, number 31. He is my second highest probability pick at that play if we stay there. So I think this is a fit. No, not too much.
Every time I say his name, I just want to sing like Moana songs.
Oh, yeah.
I love Moana. I've loved Moana way before I became a dad. So
there you go.
I'm not posing. All right. So now we're at the 49ers' second round pick at 63. So we've got to find a player from their top 30 visits. And there is a chance that, I mean, Chris Braswell could still be there in the second round. I would be surprised. But so let's try to ignore him. What are some of the top 30s? Some names I've gotten here just to set the stage. Quarterback Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky. Tackle Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame. Man, how wouldn't that be so in the face of 49ers fans? Like, oh, you want offensive linemen? We're going to take two tackles to open the draft.
Nobody would be upset.
So I put in here Andrew Phillips, Blake Fisher, tackle out of Notre Dame. Defensive tackle Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State. Slightly maybe out of reach. Safety Javon Bullard. That seems like he's probably going to be towards the top of the second.
I believe
Defensive lineman Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon. You got some other ones that I plugged in for round three. Malachi Corley, Javon Baker.
So, Trevin Wallace, that linebacker out of Kentucky, he's pretty incredible. And so I think my favorite thing about him is just the coverage and speed. Like, he is the new type of linebacker that is thriving everywhere.
Well, I've got him. Everybody else had him like in the hundreds, like 168, 104. So maybe we can plug him in later. I don't want to burn one of our, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Okay. So who are some of your favorite names of those names in round two?
My favorite, maybe not my highest ranked, but like, again, sticking with this idea of who's the absolute best fit at a position of need, cornerback Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky. He's by far one of my favorite players in this draft.
Your YouTube the other day. You'd already officially gone, like, clicked off, like, live. But I put in there, like, Andrew Phillips seems like destiny at this point. Like, he seems like he's just on his way to the 49ers already.
He's just so clean. And so the problem is this, okay? Why do I like Andrew Phillips so much? One, I think nickel is a gigantic need, perhaps the largest need on the 49ers roster. Even if you're planning on moving Diamador Lenore inside, who's the backup? Let's say Debo goes down. Like, Isaac Yeadom, he played some slot, but they've already come out and said, we see him as an outside guy. Daryl Luter Jr. can't play inside. Like, Rocky Sid's an outside guy. Like, there's not a backup. And so he has nickel experience. He has outside corner experience. So the versatility is off the charts there, but I think he could be a nickel day one. I really, really do like him. Now, Malachi Corley, you brought up Brandon Dorlus. I get it. I don't think we're going tackle again. Michael Hall, we talked a little bit about him on your show last time. I'm not the biggest fan, pass rush specialist only, that never got sacks, but athleticism and tape is there. Do you think he could get it out of him? I don't know. I don't know. I don't like that one. Brandon Dorlus does make a lot of sense, though. I think it's a little bit of a reach, but he and, you know, I'm talking about him and the cornerback. I think that they are just both kind of level 10 49ers fits to a T. Exactly what they want out of those positions, and they're premium positions. Now, Niners haven't treated corner like a premium position in a while, but we know they do D-line.
Now, here's the decision we got to make in keeping in the light of top 30 visits and fitting these all in. Where do you have Andrew Phillips on your big board?
Andrew Phillips is at, I like it because he spells his name with a U instead of a W. I have him 64.
Okay, and that's where PFF has him.
And so, yeah. Oh, really? There we go. So,
yes.
He's right in that same thing. Blake Fisher, 70, but we already got a tackle. So
where
we're
do you have Brandon Dorlus?
Brandon Dorlus, I'm not as high on. Let me see here. I have him 109.
Okay, so not even in the ballpark.
Yeah, you're drafted the player. You're not drafting the film and production there as much. You're drafting what he will be, which I don't have a problem with at the back end of the second, third round, but still a little bit of a reach for me. There's better football players at that position, not that they've met with, but
right,
it's a little bit much for me. It's a little much.
You know what? I've liked Andrew Phillips in every mock draft I've done. You've liked Andrew Phillips. We're picking 63. He's 64 in PFF. He's 64 for John Chapman. I think that one kind of solves itself. Yeah,
man, he's just awesome.
The need is certainly there. Like, everybody has started to kind of, I feel like it gained steam over time. Like, nobody was kind of talking corner until everybody just kind of started talking about corner, and they realized that, holy smokes, like, they literally don't have one of those spots decided yet. You know, like, Ambry Thomas played it, but it's clear they want to get better than Ambry Thomas. But even
if you look at the future, like, guess what? This is the last year under contract for Charvarius Ward, Diamador Lenore, Rocky Sin, Isaac Yeadom, Ambry Thomas. All of them are on expiring contracts.
I'm surprised they have not extended Charvarius Ward yet. That seems like it would have been a good way to save money, but maybe they're like, we're just not going to have this money. Like,
You get $18 million more on June 1st. That's when you get the Armstead money back, but you can't touch that right now. You don't get that till after the draft. So
I guess maybe there's still time, but he seems like, I don't know, man. He's been everything they wanted him to be. I mean, I guess
he's restructured a few times, which is awesome, to help with the Bosa deal and whatever else. So it seems like he likes it here, but he's already won championships. He's won with, you know what I mean? So he didn't make a lot of money because he was an undrafted free agent. I don't know. He might not want to do a hometown deal. It takes two to tango type of thing. But, man, I love that man. He's just damn good football player.
Yeah,
and hilarious. He's my favorite person behind a mic next to Rob Lauder. It goes Rob Lauder, then Charvarius Ward.
I'm blushing through the microphone.
I'm always blushing, Rob. That's just
I'm right there with you, bro. All right, so round one, pick 31, offensive tackle Kingsley Suamataia out of BYU. I felt like that one rolled off pretty well.
That was good. That's the best.
That was okay.
We pronounced it six different ways. That was the best one so far today.
It's probably wrong, but All right, round two, pick 63, cornerback Andrew Phillips. And so far, I don't know if you heard my episode with KP. I wish I would have said this earlier. But my new like draft philosophy for the 49ers this year and pretty much every year going forward when they're up against the salary cap is draft players with a very clear path towards a starting role. Like, obviously, when you get towards the later rounds, you've got to play the game a little bit. You know, you're looking for solid backups or that have upside. But like when it comes to like the first 2 days for the 49ers, draft someone with a crystal clear path towards playing on your team. Like, you know, like no luxury picks. I know that kind of warps the whole best player available persona that everybody likes to bang their chest on. But right now, our two draft picks have very clear paths towards a starting role. And that can be next year. That's okay for a roster as loaded as the 49ers. But as long as it's obvious where the hell they're going. All right. So we're moving. Actually, before we finish the draft up, let me get in a quick word in support of our sponsors, none other than Prize Picks. Y'all already know the drill. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made way too easy. Okay, unless you're me, I make it look hard, but that's okay. You guys are smarter than me. You're not battling against thousands of players, pros, sharks. You're just picking more or less 2 to 6 player stat projections. Watch the winnings roll in, testing my skills on the Prize Picks. Has just added a whole new dimension to my football experience. You guys have heard me talk about it all year. What I like best, as always, is it's incredibly simple to do, incredibly simple to use. The website's very intuitive. You can forget to set your lineup and realize that they're about to kick the ball and have your lineup set before they do. It's really that simple. You're going to go to prizepicks.com/gold, and you're going to use the promo code GOLD for a first deposit matchup up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/gold, promo code GOLD. PrizePicks, man, daily fantasy sports made easy. Get on it. They're rolling with Striking Gold for 2024.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay. So again, to recap, we've got offensive tackle in round one. We've got cornerback in round two, both of which have a very clear path towards starting. They fill a need. They're their best player available-ish in the area. But again, we kind of had to bend that a little bit with the first round pick just based on the rules. Okay. John, we're in round three. What are some round three top 30 names that we can plug in there? And I feel like we're still doing well. There's some names that fit right in here.
Yeah, this is a fun spot because it's really back into the third round, which you've heard Kyle say we consider that a fourth round pick, but then you got three fourth rounders. So I want to create two separate categories here and deal with one of the categories later. So this is kind of the last guys, perhaps, that could have fallen a little bit more of a value pick. So we're talking Brandon Dorlus, who I think could be there. Trevin Wallace, the linebacker out of Kentucky, I think he could be there. You know, you keep going down the list. Kalen Bullock, safety/nickel. You know, I brought him up earlier. Doesn't like to tackle too much, but he's a damn good football player and fits everything that they want. Safety is another huge need. Why? Talanoa Hufanga, contract year, and coming off an ACL. So, you know, do you want to do that with the nickel, but, you know, or a rookie? That is a possibility. So that's kind of three players that, in my opinion, on the again, we're dealing with a very small list. 23 players is all we got for all these picks. So I think those are kind of the three names that I'm highlighting here. Is there anybody else that you're seeing? Like, oh, this one could be a fit here at the third round.
Let me plug him in. Okay. So he's 81 with PFF. I'm just, for some reason, that name like escaped my nets as I put this all together.
Is this Kalen Bullock?
Yes. 92 on ESPN, 81 on PFF. Where did you have him?
I'm pretty high on him. I have a 77.
Okay.
But I have a third round grade on him. He's my highest player of these three. Trevon Wallace is awesome, the linebacker. But man, we have so many bodies at linebacker, even if Greenlaw's hurt. You paid DeAndre Campbell a lot of money, and you've got two young pups already on the roster that you drafted last year. So, like, I struggle with linebacker more than most. Now, Trevon Wallace would blow D Winters and Jalen Graham out of the water. It's not even close. But it's like, come on. Like, how greedy do we want to be at that position when, man, who's our number two safety if Talanoa can't go right now? George Odom?
Right. And he's recovering from his own injury, but he got back
out
there.
And he's not a safety. He is a special teams only player who happens to practice at safety.
So some of the other names I've got, and I don't have many, I put a kind of underneath round three, I put out of reach Javon Baker. Both PFF and ESPN have him in the 70s and 80s, and we're picking 94. So do you think he falls? I don't know. It's hard. No. You never see wide receivers really fall too much, and because it's a premium position, and he's pretty special. Like he
you're talking Javon Bullard, the safety, right?
No. Javon Baker, the receiver.
Sorry. See, I didn't like him near as much as everybody else. I had a fifth round grade.
The only problem that it's almost like you have to take the good with the bad, because he made so many sweet 50-50 ball catches.
He did.
But why is it a 50-50 ball? Because you didn't separate. You weren't open. Now that, you know, and Juwan Jennings kind of had a little bit of that in his tape. Now that's a seventh round pick. We're in the third round. Yeah. So, you know, it's not, and then you see him in the NFL, he's separating. And so I like parts of Javon Baker's game. Malachi Corley, is he going to get this far?
No.
62 PFF, 93 ESPN, which gives us some hope. But if you were to create some sort of average from that, I don't think he gets, especially with people going, oh, he's a new Debo. Like, okay, let's take him in the second round. You know, like.
So I'll say this. Like, if you look at those two wide receivers, okay, Javon Baker and Malachi Corley, one of them has elite tape and elite traits in the same area, and that's Corley. That's the tackle breaking, all those things. Like, that dude, home run, home run, home run. You look at Javon Baker, one of the, and I hate both these offenses, UCF and Western Kentucky, they run the same damn RPO heavy. It's high school offense. It's all RPOs. They run three routes each, slant, hitch, go. Like, that's it. And so it's very difficult to measure. But if you're the athleticism, Corley by a mile. Javon Baker's a deep threat who can't get separation, which is weird as hell to me, because I think he's an X, but it's like, I never want an X that cannot separate. N'Keal Harry, like, that's just not my jam. So I was kind of shocked with these players. I think this is where Javon Bullard goes, kind of that third to fourth round, but I'm not taking him here personally, but we're going to be taking a wide receiver. So
Javon,
like,
Baker or Javon Bullard?
Sorry, Baker. Javon Bullard is a stud, the safety out of Georgia. And I'm sorry if I keep mixing their names up. That's
I do it all the time. Like, it's like a thing.
I'm not a Javon Baker fan out of UCF. Doesn't mean he's not awesome. It's just, I don't want an X that can't separate, and he doesn't like to break tackles. So,
right. And if we're not gonna convince ourselves that Malachi Corley would be available here, He's gone. All right. Let me see. I'm trying to see where.
Those are my two worst offenses I graded all. I hate watching that tape.
Trying to see where Dane Brugler has him. I don't even.
Oh, here you go. I gotcha.
Oh, 54th.
There you go.
So we're in the 90s. So I'm not sure we want to stretch that out. I would love a wide receiver right here. I almost, for the most part, I mean, we will probably end up getting a wide receiver because that's just how this is going to have to work. But, you know, this is kind of the back end of where you think that they could kind of just step in. And you should have expectations that they're a starter. Can you get that in later rounds? Of course you can, but it's just, you know, as it goes, it becomes less and less common. So our choices, let's remove the wide receivers because I don't think they're going to be available at this pick. We're keeping it honest, folks. We're not trying to bullshit you here.
Okay? Yeah.
So we were just talking about Kalen Bullock.
Yes,
he has an immediate path to start. He fits a need. He would be the 49ers at worst third safety if everything is perfectly okay with Talanoa Hufanga, who is when is his contract up?
Not last year. This is last year.
Right. And not only do you have no idea how he's going to come back, but, you know, and this dude is 6'3", 190. Kalen Bullock is a big dude. You know, that's not necessarily on the skinnier side either. So I don't know, man. Is this what we're doing?
I think that it's a great fit because you could kind of groom him into a starting role with the Hufanga last year there. And again, you can fail him at nickel. So you've got competition at the nickel spot now. And, you know, the versatility's there. Ball skills are there. He fits. Like, he's a damn good player. But there's a question. And that's why he's going to the third round. The lack of physicality. But why did the 49ers take time to meet with him if he's not a fit? He is a fit. So I think that that's a perfect pick here. Personally,
is there anybody that can challenge any player that can challenge him?
Brandon Dorlus, if you think he'd still be available, I know we talked about him before.
He's 65 PFF, 54 ESPN.
So he's gone. So Trevin Wallace, the linebacker. But again, that's, you know, I think he's a cleaner player. I've got an early fourth round grade on Trevin. You know, the linebacker position I just don't value very much, and the NFL doesn't really either. But he's a fun player, but our depth chart is stacked there. Like if you're drafting Trevin Wallace, you're cutting Jalen Graham. Like, he's not going to – like, you can't have 9 linebackers on your 90-man roster. You just can't do that in today's NFL. Maybe you could, but it don't make sense to me.
Maybe you could. Kalen Bullock, then.
I think that's a good pick there. And again, we're operating from a 23-person board for picks.
For anybody that just got pissed off for whatever reason, you know, like just understand that we're kind of constrained here, but we're trying to get you names that you're going to hear called on. And inevitably, some of these names are going to be drafted by the 49ers. At least that's what history tells us. Safety Kalen Bullock, USC. All right, so now we're in a fun portion of this. We have 3 fourth-round picks that are 11 picks between the first and the last. So we essentially have the fun task of picking 3 fourth-round players that can go right here. And I'm going to tell you, just based on what we're at pick 124, PFF has Trevin Wallace, 168. ESPN has him 104.
Ooh.
So if we want to fudge a little bit here, and it's not a fudge according to PFF if you're, you know, reading that Bible, but we could plug them in.
Linebackers fall, like, they do. That's the thing. Safeties, linebackers, running backs fall every single draft. They don't care about those positions. So I don't have a problem with that. I mean, we're going to get a wide receiver in the fourth round. I'm just telling you that off the the amount of visits with, like, fourth, fifth round grades. So we're going to get one of those. But, man, if you are comfortable as the general manager of this podcast of putting Trevin Wallace still on the board in the fourth round, that is just such a cool fit.
Well, if I were to average where ESPN has him and where PFF has him, we would be able to take him. You know, it would be like 140. So, I mean, I don't feel bad about it. We're at 124. Now, here's the names I have in this area. Cornerback to Cameron Richardson out of Mississippi State. Tight end Eric All out of Iowa. Wide receiver Johnny Wilson. Can't remember where he... Big dude. Jeez.
Florida State, yeah.
Safety. How do you say this guy's name? Sione? Sione? I see...
Sione Vaki, I believe.
But yeah, and he's 124 for PFF and 246 through ESPN. So there's a difference of opinion.
He's
there.
Late. He's going to go later.
Okay, then we'll wait. Offensive tackle Caden Wallace out of Penn State. and linebacker Trevon Walls. Those are the names I have there. And then you've got Jacob Cowling, wide receiver. He seems like he might be a little bit later. So, I mean, am I missing anybody? Cameron Richardson, corner, tight end Eric Hall, wide receiver Johnny Wilson. We'll remove the safety, offensive tackle Caden Wallace, and linebacker Trevon Walls.
I like Caden Wallace probably the most of that list. But then at the same time, it's like
position of need.
Yeah. I mean the position value, but I'm like, I remember watching his tape and I was like, he could be good. Like you're betting on what he can be, but his tape was not great. So I'm just going to say, I like the idea, but we already got a tackle. So I'm like, look,
We don't have to. Yeah. If we didn't have a tackle at this point, we'd probably just be like, put it on the board. We have to save ourselves here. So out of those names, Richardson, all, Wilson, and linebacker's got to be first on your list, right?
Yeah, linebacker. Oh, Trevon Wallace is there. I mean, he's just so clean. 6'1", 237.
Is he Kentucky too?
Kentucky. Look at us. We're getting these Kentucky guys.
Yeah, man. I mean, you draft the one and you say, hey, is this guy cool? And that guy will be like, yeah, he's cool, man. Draft him. And they'll be like, all right, let's draft him.
Dude, he power cleaned 355 pounds in high school. I mean, he is a freak.
You know what's cool? Behind pretty much every single NFL player is some absolutely insane high school stuff. Like, you've got like it doesn't matter if they're a defensive or offensive prospect. They were probably playing the other side of both sides of the ball, you know, because they're NFL athletes. And like, there's just some stuff that you're just like, how is this possible? Okay. Right. So for our first round four pick, 124, we're going linebacker Trevon Walls out of Kentucky. That's an easy pick. Also clear path to action. He would, you know, you're kind of usurping your own fifth and sixth round picks, but you know, shit happens, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are we at?
We got two more fourth rounders.
We do. I'm trying to make sure I don't have any other guys that should be there. No, not he's a little early. So we've got Caden Wallace still there. Johnny Wilson, Matt Miller's ESPN compared him to Darren Waller because he's a huge wide receiver. Dude's like 6'7".
He's a big dude, man.
Maybe the 49ers could see him as like a move tight end, you know, like they don't usually like those guys, but, and we've got the Iowa tight end still there.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where I didn't do a write up on the Iowa tight end, Eric Hall, but they had him in for an official meeting. He's an Iowa guy and you know, he can block it. That's what he's got to do. You know, it's funny. I have Johnny Wilson and Jacob Cowling back to back in my rankings. And they're two completely different players. One of them's tiny, 5'8", the other one's 6'6", but I think they both play a slot role. And so what do you want? You want the Juwan Jennings type or you want the Trent Taylor type? Because we got both on this roster. Like, which one do you want?
We're getting a little did you do anything up on DeCameron Richardson?
I really like him. Fourth round grade on him. And I think he's an outside corner who could play inside. 6'2", 188. So, like, we've got our inside corner with Andrew Phillips. We've got our safety. This secondary needs help. I mean, we talked about all the corners that need – that are you're losing five corners on expiring contracts currently going into the next year. So, I would love the Mississippi State kid here. 6'2", 188, 4'3", speed.
I mean, I've already plugged him in.
Oh, he's awesome, man. Really like him.
I've already plugged him in. I don't see why not.
Yeah, there we go. So our fourth round picks, we got Trevon Walace. We got DeCameron Robinson or Richardson. Sorry.
Yep. And we've got one more. And that's the last pick of that round. Is it not? That's the one that got bumped down because shame on the 49ers for overpaying somebody.
I think I want to get a wide receiver in this range. I just cannot see us getting out of the fourth round without taking a wide receiver. So Johnny Wilson would be at the top of my list.
Okay.
I mean, physicality, he's big. He's not as consistent, but a worst comes to worst, red zone threat. I mean, that dude's going to score some touchdowns for you.
I mean, I like it, especially as a guy that now obviously they want tight ends that can mix it up in the run game. I don't know how Johnny Wilson fits into that, if he could be converted to do anything like that.
He played only outside. He was the X for Florida State.
Dude is 6'6", 230, 10-inch hands.
They had a basketball team, man, when you watch that tape. The other wide receiver was taller.
Arms.
The other wide receiver's taller than him on Florida State.
And he runs a 4.5.
Yeah, he's
NFL comparison, Devin Funchess. Like, yeah, no shit.
Donut away from playing D-line.
I know. So, I mean, that adds a completely new dynamic. And if there's a very real scenario where the 49ers just aren't going to be able to afford, nearly guaranteed, you know, I guess the Debo exit may change things, but there's going to be a team out there that's willing to pay Juwan Jennings $10 million a year.
Yeah, if Kendrick Bourne got what he got, right. Are you kidding me? Yeah, so that was...
Lance Zierlein has him as a round 4 guy. So you want to go Johnny Wilson?
I think that fits. And again, like, I just have a hard time seeing us. The 49ers had 5 official visits with wide receivers, which is the next most is 3. Corners, offensive tackles, and safeties. They met 3. They met 5 wide receivers. So this is kind of the round, you know, that 3rd, 4th, 5th round where I think wide receivers will go. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners got 2, to be honest with you.
Right, right. We didn't do it because we liked Andrew Phillips a lot, but I've always, for whatever reason, I just feel like the round 2 pick is a wide receiver. Like,
I wouldn't be mad. There's so Jalen Polk. Oh my gosh, I would be so happy.
Could be the round 1 pick.
Yeah, it's possible.
I know. That's what me and KP spent a decent amount of time talking about. It's like, as weird as it is to say right now, out of the 49ers' top 3 receivers, the one most likely to be on the roster in 2025 is Brandon Ayuk. And then Debo Samuel, I don't want to start putting any sort of a stamp on that, but if you look at his contract and when you click post June 1 release, like, they're either going to have to do a very serious restructure / new deal, or, you know, I think that's it. That's just the, you know, and if the 49ers went, if you subscribe to that, maybe you don't. And like we just said, I think a team is going to be willing to pay Juwan Jennings a lot of money. The 49ers are going to have to cut costs somewhere. And a first round wide receiver to pair with Brandon Ayuk is like solves a lot of problems. Yeah. So that's just my thoughts on that. All right. I'm going to recap our successes so far. Round 1, offensive tackle, Kingsley Suamataia. BYU. Round 2, cornerback Andrew Phillips, Kentucky. Round 3, safety Caleb Bullock, USC. Round 4, linebacker Trevin Wallace, Kentucky. Round 4, cornerback DeCameron Richardson, Mississippi State. And round 4, wide receiver Johnny Wilson, Florida State. I think we're doing all right.
Not too bad. Not too bad. I think we're not winning awards yet, but, you know, just
And again, we don't get the flashy names because it's all top 30 visits. Like, Johnny Newton is not on this list, you know, like, he can't just fall to us in the mock draft. I think somebody just mocked him to the 49ers like today. Prominent. I can't remember who it was.
What my problem is right now, and I'm looking at this,
I feel like that is a very loaded question.
I've got a lot of problems. There's no defensive lineman that they met with day 3 grades. None.
There's that Evan Anderson guy that is like undrafted free agent.
You might have to
plug him in seventh round. Yeah, he which might I'm be okay with. Brock Purdy.
But they didn't meet with a lot of D linemen.
No, they met with not.
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
All right. So
they hamstrung us.
I know. They knew what we were trying to do. So round 5, pick 176. I've only got 2 names in there, wide receiver Jacob Cowing and cornerback, I don't know how to say his name, Chaw Smith-Wade.
Chaw. That's how I've been saying it, but man, I was hoping Eric. I was kind of penciling in the tight end Eric All here, but you think he's God?
No. PFF has him at 92, which is that's 3rd round. ESPN has him at 215.
I did 205, and he wasn't one of them. So
okay, so I mean, we make him the 5th round pick so that the stars align with George Kittle.
Oh,
You know I'd what I mean? And happy. The 49ers are rolling out 2 fifth-round Iowa tight ends, and that would obviously mean that Eric Gall would become the 49ers' next George Kittle.
It is written.
It is written. Have you seen Dune 2? Dune Part 2?
I haven't yet because we started watching Dude last night with the wife because me and the kiddo were like, dude, let's watch Dude 2. And she was like, oh, I want to watch it. It's like, well, you got to watch Dude 1 first.
Yeah, maybe Eric Gall is the Lisa Nalgaib.
There we go. There we go. He knows our ways.
Yeah. Dude, I didn't go see it in theaters. And once I have one of those websites that just gets all the movies. Once I watched it on my phone, I was like, fuck, I should have saw it in theater. Excuse my language. Because there were so many sweet shots, so many sweet scenes. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was great. But the amount of hype that movie got when it came out, like people were like, this is one of the best movies I've ever seen. I was like, I was ready to be just godsmacked. But it was good. It was good.
Cinema's so trash nowadays. But I'm the biggest Hans Zimmer fan ever. And so like the sound, like that's my jam. And so I thought it was incredible, Dune 1, but I haven't watched Dune 2 yet. Probably will after the draft, but we'll reconvene on the...
I think Dune 2 is better than Dune 1, so if you liked Dune 1, you will like Dune 2.
All right.
I love... I'm a big Austin Butler fan, the guy that plays that bald, no eyebrows guy. Like, he's on the new...
Masters of Air.
Yeah. So I was... okay, and... Lance Zierlein has Eric Gall as a 5th and 6th round projection. So that is who we're taking. We are taking Iowa tight end Eric Gall, 6'4", 252 pounds, 33 inch arms, 10 1/8 inch hands. That's big. And I don't even need to watch his tape. He probably blocks his ass off. But I don't know. Could be foot in mouth. But you all know why we are making this pick. And the 49ers met with him. That's the end of it. Okay, so we have 2 round 6 picks and 1 round 7 pick to square this bitch away.
Let's do it.
What are some names that we've got floating around that we could even think about plugging in?
All right, 6th round, we got Chow Smith-Wade, the corner out of Washington State.
We've got two corners, but that doesn't necessarily keep us from taking another.
I think Bub Means actually fits pretty good. The wide receiver out of Pitt, he's a true X. So we got Johnny Wilson, but we're going to kick him inside as our big slot / tight end, receiving, whatever. Bub Means, like, height, weight, speed guy, vertical field stretcher, and, you know, kind of a Danny Gray S, but with a lot more size to him. But you're getting him 6'1", in round 212. 6.
That's a big boy.
I like that fit. And again, I just think wide receiver, I do not like the wide receiver depth of the 49ers. I understand we got 3 studs.
It's non-existent. There is none. After the
I don't
top
believe
three
in
guys,
Ronnie
there's,
Bell.
There's nothing there.
Chris Conley is my next favorite wide receiver.
And that dude.
He's older than me. Dude,
yeah. Well, and what he did on special teams was like, I loved watching it because it wasn't necessarily, is that what he's been known for?
No, but that's he's a height-weight speed guy. He's just like, been a field stretcher, go routes.
He just willed his way into a role like late in his career. And obviously he made those pair of great catches, great throw by Brock Purdy, great catch by Conley, but it was cool to see. Why is
And he was, what's it called? He was on the practice squad all year and just, hey, did his job. I like that dude. I really like Conley.
Why is Bub Means so far back here? What did he not do great?
Uh-oh, my stuff shut down. That's good. There we go. I'll say this. Oh, it's not working now. But whenever I was watching his tape, the whole time I was like, yeah, like you could see it, but it's not there yet. Routes need a lot of work. He high points the ball well. The speed's there. It shows. And the whole time I was like, man, why is this dude playing wide receiver? Like, if he was a safety or a corner, like, he's a better athlete than he is a wide receiver, if that makes sense. So, the height, weight, speed, metrics, all that's there. He's got highlight tape, but it's just the consistency and the routes. That's why I have him here. I mean, if you put his measurables up against some of these, you know, Randy Pearsall or Ricky Pearsall, like some of those second-round guys, their metrics are the same. It's just the tape and the footwork and the routes aren't. But...
Sounds like a guy that needs to spend some time with Brandon Ayuk.
There you go, man. There you go. Cody Latimer. I don't know if you remember him out of Indiana.
Man, remember how excited people were about him? And I, every time I just, and I am no draft guy. I can probably, if I really want to throw myself into wide receivers, I think my success rate would be pretty good, to be honest. But I was watching that. And I was like, man, I'm not there.
Didn't like it.
I'm not there. Like,
he had this huge game, and it was against Ohio State or Michigan. It was one of those two teams. Talking about Cody Latimer, and that dude just freaking had like 3 touchdowns, 188 yards, and it was like, oh, he did it against the best of the best of the Big Ten, and it just didn't work.
No, and that happens. I'm definitely not victory lapping. Okay, round 6, pick 211. Let's go with wide receiver Bub Means, because he obviously has one of the absolute best names in the draft class. One of my favorites is Rome Odunze. Like, I just can say that over and over. Nowhere, 49ers not even going to, they're not even going to see him off in the distance. He's going to be selected so far before the 49ers. But just a fun name to say, Rome Odunze. Like, come on.
I love that dude, man. He's my number 2 wide receiver. I have him ahead of Malik, but I have him back to back. They're both amazing, but yeah.
Do you like A.D. Mitchell?
I love A.D. Mitchell. I'm a Longhorn fan. I'm biased. I'm a Longhorn fan. So,
what college did Kyle Shanahan go to?
Yep. He played wide receiver at the University of Texas and Duke, but he claims Texas.
And they met with him, but not a top 30.
Correct. Okay. Same with Xavier Worthy.
Right. Okay. All right, man. 2 more picks left. Round 6, picks 215. Round 7, pick 251. Who do we have to play with to close this bitch out?
We got
the
safety.
Defensive lineman out of Florida Atlantic. He's obviously a priority undrafted free agent, but
yeah,
if we wanted to plug it in, we could.
we could. Let's do it, because we got to get a D lineman. You got to get a D lineman.
If we're gonna hit him with it, let's do that. Let's save him for the 7th round.
Okay, so 6th round, Sione Vaki, the safety out of Utah, fun player.
I know one of my. I'm gonna beat myself up for not knowing exactly who it is right now, but one of my listeners, it might be too fresh. Big Sione Vaki. Yep, it's too fresh. It's too fresh. Big Sione Vaki fan. I almost want to get him just for him, but
he's a stud. He's already done his Mormon mission. And so he's a local kid because he won NorCal Player of the Year in high school. Went to Antioch High School, then transferred to Brentwood. He's hair on fire, man. Right attitude and body, safety nickel, but needs coaching. I mean, he's mean. 5'11", 210.
Is he almost like a hybrid linebacker safety?
100%. 100%.
Yeah, 5'11", 210. He's a line of scrimmage guy, which wouldn't be the worst thing to have around.
No, you look at, man, where's his like, he plays everywhere. And so I would want him closer to the line of scrimmage, but special teams, like, that's the thing. Whenever you drafted Hufanga, he came in, he was like, I want to win a Pro Bowl, be a Pro Bowl player at, special teams. Instead, he becomes an All-Pro player at safety. Like, this is a special teams player that perhaps could play some safety or nickel or third linebacker, but, low ceiling, but fun player attitude that fits the culture.
I think that I like that a lot better than the other options who we had down here, which was Chow Smith Wade, Jacob Cowing. Like, I like this a little bit better. I like Sione Vaki a little bit better than just kind of how he would plug in. Again, what is his path forward for the 49ers? Even for these late round guys, if you can paint a story or paint a picture that encourages you, then I like it. And don't read too far into the safety tag. Yeah, we already drafted a safety in the 3rd round, but this is more of a, let's see where he can and make an impact on the defense and special teams. He might not even be at safety. He might be able to do just whatever you want, and today's kind of hybrid NFL, a guy that can kind of do multiple things. Let's do that. You want to plug him in?
I like it. I like it a lot.
And then you want to go with so we can draft a defensive lineman. You want to do that one for the round 7?
We just have to. there's no way we're not going to. Talking about Evan Anderson out of Florida Athletic. Is that who you're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
There we go. Yeah. I mean, he's 6'1", 320. And so he fits exactly what it is that kind of we want. He's got a lot of special teams experience. He blocked some field goals in his time, which I like. Team captain, Shrine Bowl guy, not even a Senior Bowl guy, and that's kind of where he's going to be drafted. You take this kind of late, and you hope to work him in the rotation, and could probably be a practice squad. I'd like to take a quarterback here, but they didn't meet with any.
They screwed us.
They did not. They had a couple meetings with Michael Pratt of Tulane, third, fourth round guy. And right after that meeting, they went and signed the number two quarterback. And it was like, yeah, we're good. We're good. Which I like. You don't want to draft a third round quarterback or around there. But sixth, seventh rounder, I would prefer that. They just haven't met with any. So we were totally pigeonholed here.
You know what would be hilarious? I want to see, since Brock Purdy's emergence, I want to see how big of an increase there is in quarterback seventh round drafts post Brock Purdy. You know what I mean? We need to chart that ourselves.
Was there one last year? I'm curious. I'm going to look at the draft right now. I'm pulling it up because you had kind of a year of it, right? So let's see here. Was there one last year? I'm pulling it up right now.
Have to be Mr. Irrelevant. We're just talking seventh round quarterbacks.
There was not. Oh yeah, there was. No, there wasn't. Oh yeah, here we go. No, goodness.
I was waiting for that.
I'm an idiot.
I was waiting for that. Oh yeah, here we go.
Yeah, there we go. I got to go to the 2023 season. So my problem was I was looking at 2022. I got caught. Here we go. Seventh rounder, Max Duggan. There we go. Who I coached with his dad down in Texas, which was pretty fun. So there was one guy, Max Duggan. He never played out of TCU.
That was the only seventh round quarterback
last year.
Okay. Will there be an uptick in those this year now that Brock Purdy has shown that he is
Tonga Viola? That's who I want in the seventh round.
How's he related?
He's his brother. Okay. Small, tiny. He's got a Phillip Rivers type delivery. Fun player, but he's, you know, seventh rounder.
Yeah, seventh rounder. All right, are you ready to recap our draft? Our draft.
Let's do it. How did we do?
Our draft class, right?
How did we do?
Our 2024. John Chapman, Rob Lauder, top 30 visit 49ers draft class. Okay. Again, there's a drum roll happening somewhere in the universe right now. Okay. Round one, pick 31, offensive tackle, Kingsley Suamatea, BYU. And give me one or two sentences on how he fits in with the 49ers. Go.
Oh, man. Upside, pass protection, athleticism, Penei Sewell's cousin. He's stud. But you gotta get him there. He's not there yet.
Right. And again, maybe that could somebody be in a universe that's available with the 49ers second round pick. But, you know, he's kind of in that weird gray area. And he's number 31 on John's big board. So doesn't matter. That's where we're taking him. Okay, round two, pick 63, cornerback Andrew Phillips, Kentucky. Couple sentences. What's he doing?
Absolute perfect fit. Hair on fire. Inside, outside corner. Can play it all. Clean player. Freak athlete. Incredible. If I had to make a bet on which one of these players is most likely to wind up, that's my guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fills a need, lined up with the value. Those are the best draft picks. Okay. Round three, pick 94, safety Caleb Bullock out of UFC. Go.
Yeah, need some work. Freak athlete, fits, ball hawk safety. Could play nickel. Got to learn to be physical. That's why he fell in the third. His tape, coverage-wise, early second round pick. Lack of physicality, that's going to drop him.
Right. Yeah, and I would have loved like Malachi Corley here, but again, we're trying to be sort of realistic. Everything we saw had him as more of like an early second round guy, early third at the absolute latest, and we just couldn't swing that.
He would be the perfect Tayshon Gibson type safety. Like he's not, you know, what we got with Jair Brown or Hufanga. He's not that. He's the over the top shell safety. That's what he does.
Which, you know, if Jair Brown and Talanoa Hufanga are almost in conflicting in terms of, you know, their Venn diagram is overlapping too much as far as the type of player they are, then maybe adding in a Caleb Bullock is more of a need and would have more of an impact than we're giving it credit for. Because you can always use a guy over the top that could make plays, that can help you out. Round four, pick 124, linebacker Trevon Wallace, Kentucky.
speed. Production, young, big physical. He's the new hybrid linebacker. Instantly passes the other guys, and you can play him at all three spots. I think they'd probably put him in the Greenlaw role, but Trevin Wallace, Kentucky, just fun player.
I like it. Round four, remember the first of three fourth-round picks. Round four, pick 132, cornerback to Cameron Richardson, Mississippi State.
Yeah, tall outside corner, springy, cat-like, shuffle-type corner, decent ball skills. But, I mean, he just completes the idea. He's your outside corner. He's what Isaac Yiadom should be. And so you're getting that with the upside, and you just groom him for a year. And whenever the mass exodus of corners happens after this season, hopefully he can step in and compete for an outside role.
I like it. Round four, pick 135, wide receiver Johnny Wilson out of Florida State.
Huge slot role. You don't get Juwan Jennings back. He's just going to instantly step into that role. Even though I want to keep Juwan Jennings, but he could do that. You want to put some more meat on his bones. He's already 231. You can make him your tight end too. That's fine. So lots of things you do. He played X wide receiver. You put him outside in a pinch. He could do a lot. And so in this versatile Kyle Shanahan, whatever, it's a fun movable piece.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to see how he would take advantage of that big of an athlete, you know, like just throw it up to him, man, throw it up to him. Okay. Stick it on offense, round five, pick 176, tight end Eric All out of Iowa. You didn't do a write-up on him. I didn't do a write-up on anybody, so suck it. But he's a round five to six guy from Lance Zierlein. He's an Iowa guy. You know, those guys just really do come with a special sauce. You know, like it is legit. Apparently he's got some medical stuff going on. Maybe that's why he's available at this point. ACL tear in October, and had season ending back injury in 2022. I'm just reading from Lance Zierlein's report, but, again, we're in the fifth round at this point. You're taking guys who you feel like can surprise you, can be more than you think he is. And, you know, an Iowa tight end just kind of fits the brand. And they met with him again. Top 30 is all we're doing here. Round six, pick 211. Bub Means, wide receiver out of Pittsburgh.
Speed. He's straight X. Like, that's just what he is. That's all he's ever going to be. That's not a bad thing. So you put him behind Ayuk, and he steps in instead of Denny Gray, instead of Ronnie Bell, who they had there last year. I didn't like the spot he was in, but a true field stretcher at the X position. Worst case scenario.
And again, all the 49ers have a roster where fifth and sixth round picks are not even a guarantee to make the roster. So at this point,
he'd compete for the returner spot too. He'd be back there.
Yeah, that's a solid bonus. Okay, round six, picks 215. Pick 215, safety Sione Vaki, I guess that's how we're saying it, out of Utah. A lot to like there at that point.
Special teams, that's why you do it, and hopefully he can grow into something. You got to see where he fits. Can you put more weight on his body, move him into the box? But, I mean, hey, if Hufanga can't play early, yeah, you got a guy. I mean, you slide him in there. He's 23. He can play now, but probably special teams only.
Okay. And the last pick, somebody who looks like a priority free agent, but we haven't gotten to pick a defensive lineman yet. So we're making his dreams come true and making him a draft pick, giving him a phone call on the day three of the draft. Defensive lineman Evan Anderson out of Florida Atlantic. Just a big dude. That's the write-up. Right now I'm watching 14 minutes of Eric All playing football, just kind of absorbing this in as I'm talking. He's a good athlete. You know, if those medicals clear well. And like you said, one of the huge advantages of top 30 visits is getting a more clearer picture on medical stuff. Yeah, Eric All is a nice athletic tight end. If he can develop as a blocker, then he looks pretty good. He moves really well.
On Dane Brugler, he says, missed 11 games because of spinal surgery. That's a big... And then he had a torn ACL.
It's an important
ACL
part of your body.
But, and so, like, I get not drafted. We're not Trent Baalke here. But once you get to day three, these are times you can take gambles. Because guess what? You draft him. You could keep him on the NFI or the PUP list, kind of like what you did Cameron Latu. Doesn't even count against your 53-man roster. You just got to sit him and let him soak up the culture and learn for a year. the Niners are pretty crafty with how they stash some of these players.
And talk about a dude with a lot of pressure. Cam Latu, man. Jeez.
Oof.
And a lot of that pressure is on the 49ers, too. He was, you know, they scouted him. They scouted him. All right, man. I think that was one valuable, and I think that we did pretty well.
These names that we talked about the whole time, trust me, you're going to be hearing those again. Not saying we went, you know, 6 for 6, but I'm telling you, 3 to 4 of these guys we talked about, I would bet the farm they're going to wind up in the Niners uniform. Who they are, I don't know.
Right. And just to remind everybody, so we don't lose track of why we were doing this, we only picked the top 30 guys based on the fact that when you look at the 49ers historically since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took over, they draft a lot of their top 30 visits. They're not all top 30 guys, but there were draft classes where 6 or 7 players were top 30 visits. And did we pick the right ones? Maybe, maybe not. But that, I mean, realistically, there could be 4 or 5 or 6 guys that we just talked about that the 49ers draft. And you're going to be sitting there going, we heard of, they called it, you know, it's not because we're smart. We're just putting the pieces together.
I like
it. All right, dude. Any closing thoughts?
Just remember, the draft is supposed to be fun. And here's what I want to say. Whenever they draft somebody that you really didn't want, whenever your guy that you loved was on the board, take a deep breath. Just remember, go watch some highlights. Therapy, man. You'll persuade yourself with a couple drinks, couple highlights on YouTube. You're going to love them. You're going to love them. So just give them a little time to simmer and, yeah, trust the process, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Well, tell before we get out of here, tell everybody what you do, where you come from, where your home is, and where they can check you out.
Yeah, talk 49ers way too much, and my favorite review I've ever had on iTunes on a single podcast as my only person on the show, I talk too much, which that's what I do. And so
shut
I
up
love
on
that.
Your podcast,
yeah.
John.
but anyway, we're going to be live all through the draft, days 1 and day 2. If you want to check us out, just type in 49ers Rush wherever you listen and or watch. And yeah, that's what we do. We make movie references that half our audience does not get, and we talk 49ers.
Well, you had a guy in your comments section during your YouTube live stream named Lieutenant Simplejack. So
that
movie
jackass.
References are a part of my makeup. They're my core, my being, man. Like I have rehashed Happy Gilmore at least 1,273 times. So, you know, and that's not the only one, but. Here's how much movies make up my DNA. Me and my brother will randomly text each other a few times a month. We text more than that, but a movie quote will just show up on your phone, and your honor and integrity is on the line. You cannot look it up.
No,
you just have to guess it. And some of the most obscure things ever, and we still get it. So it really is a part of my makeup. But all right, man. Not going to keep you any longer. I'm sure dinner is available to you at some point. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I mean, it's 1 hour and 20 minutes of, in my opinion, legit 49ers draft coverage. Again, based on the historical facts that the 49ers draft the hell out of their top 30 visits. And my goal with this was to give you names that you can very realistically hear on draft day. Not going off a random PFF big board. We are taking guys that the 49ers have had in the building, and I hope you found it valuable. John, Thanksgiving, man. Appreciate
you're the man, dude. Appreciate this. This is fun.
It is. It is. It's the start of something beautiful. Striking Gold Podcast. You guys are already here listening. That's the ultimate form of support. If you want to leave us a 5-star review on whatever app you're listening to, iTunes, Spotify, please do it. It shows up. We see it. It matters. Leave some words along with it if you want to. But like I said, the ultimate form of support would just be the fact that you've tolerated with our stupidity for this long. So I appreciate you. Thank you for listening. That's John. I'm Rob. This is Striking Gold. And we're signing out. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.